محمد صلى على رسول الكريم. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. سورة طه was recited to the Malaika 2000 years before the creation of the universe. The Malaika's response after listening to the surah was, blessed be the nation on which these surahs were revealed, Taha and Surah Yasin. And blessed will be those tongues that will recite these two surahs, Surah Taha, Surah Yasin. And blessed are those hearts that preserve these two surahs. So, these surahs have got some very, very important message. It commences with the story of Musa alayhi salam. إِذْ رَآ نَارًا فَقَالْ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُسُوا. Musa alayhi salam had just taken leave from his father-in-law at Madian and returning to see his respected mother in Egypt. It is a cold winter's night, and his respected family, Safura alayhi salam, is in the final stages of her labor. It's a cold winter's night. Musa alayhi salam needs some direction, and also he needs to keep his wife warm. So he says to his wife that, I will just go and fetch some fire and keep you warm, and perhaps I may get some direction as well. The lesson that we learn, that the place of the woman is the home. Musa alayhi salam mentioned it to his wife that, you remain here whilst I will go and look out for the fire. He didn't say that you must look after yourself, and because there is a thing like gender equality, so both of us must look, or you must look for yourself and I will look for myself. He didn't say this. He says that your place is the home, you remain here, and I will go and fetch the fire. Impressing upon the family that the man's duty is to venture out and to generate an income. Otherwise, what's good of that man that wants his wife also to generate an income with him? So he is shirking his responsibility, and he doesn't realize his manhood, that the man's duty was to venture out and to see that the fires are burning in the home, whilst the wife's duty was to see that the household affairs remain calm, peaceful and enjoyable. So this is defining duties. That's your duty, this is my duty. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى. Now, when he approaches and he hears a divine voice calling, O Musa, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. That I am your Rabb, this voice that you're hearing is the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, what I want you to do is to remove your shoes. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. And the reason is that you are on holy ground. So now, what makes the ground holy? The thing that makes the ground holy is this, that the word of Allah Ta'ala, the revelation is coming at this point. When the revelation is coming at this point, then this is the word of Allah Ta'ala, then this ground also becomes holy, and therefore it is worthy of being respected. Like Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first encounter with Wahi was at Jabal al-Nur Gara Hira. Musa Alayhi Wasallam's first encounter with Wahi was on the Jabal al-Tur. Here was Jabal al-Nur, and here was Jabal al-Tur. And then the first lesson is the lesson of adab and respect, that pull off your shoes. It wouldn't have made a difference if he had worn his shoes or he had removed the shoes. But as an additional respect, as a token of adab, he says, remove the shoes and then listen to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand, wherever the word of Allah ta'ala is read, wherever the word of Allah ta'ala is learnt, wherever the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being received, then that place requires some additional form of respect. It can't be that the word of Allah ta'ala is being read and recited, and noise is carrying on, people are all casual about it, and they don't show any additional respect to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is being recited, as it is being taught, as it is being listened and heard to. No additional respect is being shown. So this is not in accordance to this verse of the Quran. فَقْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. So some additional respect is supposed to be shown at the spot where the Quran is recited, where it's being taught, where it's being received. So that is the first lesson that we learn in this passage of Musa alayhi salam. And the second lesson that we learn is وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. And O Musa alayhi salam, I have chosen you to be my Nabi, to be my spokesman. You will represent me to the people on the earth. So you will be my representative. You're going to be my representative. Now listen carefully to my message. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So the second lesson that we learn, one is where the Quran Sharif is being recited, the place, the time, and the occasion of the revelation, that is respected. And the second thing that needs to be understood is, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. We all want to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse is showing how we go about getting blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want the mercy, we want the compassion, we want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mercy and the guidance of Allah ta'ala is not just for a small occasion. Throughout our lives, every moment of our lives, we are in need of His special blessings. But then there must be a procedure for us to be recipients of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He shows the procedure. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Then listen attentively, not فَاسْمَعْ, but فَاسْتَمِعْ. Listen attentively to this message as it is being passed down to you, coming from Allah ta'ala, and the message is coming to you. So what is your duty? Your duty is to listen to this message, and listen to this message very, very carefully, very attentively. The ulama explained that how do you listen to the Quran, or the explanation to the Quran Sharif, with attention. Then they give about 3-4 pointers. One is, when you are reciting the Quran or you are listening to the Quran, then do it with an undivided mind. Your mind is entirely towards the recitation of Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. Your mind is not, now when is this recitation going to end up, and what am I going to do, and this reciter is better than that reciter. No, I'm listening. This is a message of Allah Ta'ala. I must listen with my ears open and with full attention. Number two is, istami' also means that you listen whilst your body is not fidgeting around, you're moving around from one side to the other, hands are scratching, legs are aching. So our full attention, full dedication, full devotion to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our duty is to listen properly, carefully. فَإِذَا قَرَعْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. You will listen to it properly, full attention, undivided attention. Then will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the ability to understand it. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. Allah ta'ala will grant you that ability when you had heard it, undivided attention, total respect, full focus, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it was not in your language, but now that has gone deep down your heart, and with time you'll see the fruits coming out of this recitation. First it was the recitation, it was like the seed that was planted into your heart. Now that seed is fruiting and you're enjoying the fruit. But this only comes if you're showing that full type of respect. Now it's become like customary that you're going to do a lot of reading, and nobody stops you from reading. But the more important thing is, after the reading, what is the level of application? What is the level of digestion? So we digest the content, and then we apply the content. We heard that this ingredient is very good, very, very good. So we know about it. But we're not applying it, we're not taking it to heart. Will we enjoy the benefit? So the benefit only will come when that adab is shown, that respect is shown. So it was the way of the former people that a lot of respect was shown to the Quran Sharif recitation. Many of us may have witnessed our nannies and our old women, etc., mothers and dadis. When they opened the Quran Sharif, then with a lot of respect, they got it covered in two covers, two gilafs they got it. And then they are seeing to it that we are showing the full respect. Apply it to the chest, put it to the head, kiss the Quran Sharif, then have a gilaf, have another covering, and over that the Quran Sharif is placed, and then they commence with the recitation. It's possible that we have got blessed with iman, etc., because of their respect. The respect that they had shown to the Quran and to the word of Allah Ta'ala, that we are enjoying the fruit of their respect. So this respect to the Quran Sharif. In a village in India, some times ago, so it was a woman that's in the throes of death, last moments, and a village of all jahils, complete jahils, ignorant, don't know about deen, basics they know, and over and above they don't know anything about deen. Now suddenly they hear that this woman that is on the throes of death, and she is speaking in a foreign language, not familiar, so they don't know the language, they don't know what she's saying. Obviously everybody's mind is going towards, perhaps there is some hidden treasure, and we must be the lucky persons to dig it up and enjoy it. So our minds will go in that. But then nonetheless they say, no, we must go and find out exactly what this woman is saying. So they found some learned alim or something from the next village, brought him, see what this granny is reciting, what she's doing, what she's saying. So this alim came in and he's listening attentively to what the woman saying. So she was saying something and he heard attentively, Azani Rajulani, there are two angels standing before me, a lot of nur, a lot of brightness. And they are instructing me, Udkhulil Jannah, get into Jannah. Now, alim that was there, he got a shock of his life. That this woman is jahil, she doesn't know much about deen. And the angels are instructing her to enter into Jannah. So she must be doing something very secretly that I am not aware of. This is now the most crucial point of a person's life, that how do you leave the world? How you enjoy it, that's immaterial. Yes, how you leave the world, going into the next realm, and it must be a much more enjoyable journey. Going into that realm, it must be a realm that is much more enjoyable, much more lovely, much more exciting and interesting. So now, this was that crucial moment, and that crucial moment worked out very well for her. And she's saying now, Malaika are instructing me getting to Jannah. So she must be doing something that I'm not aware of, or we're not aware of. So they did some homework, investigation. Okay, what was this woman doing to enjoy this type of a blessing? So after some investigation, they found out that she was doing two things. One is, she would show a lot of respect to the Quran, to the Azan, when the Azan is going. She won't allow anybody to make a noise. In fact, she will become a little bit firm and aggressive. This is the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect the call of Allah ta'ala. Remain silent. After the Azan is over, then you can do whatever you need to do. But now for this moment, what is required is just listen to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He's calling you to His prayer, His ibadah. And the second thing that she was quite particular about was about the children learning Quran Sharif. She was very, very, she had a passion for this and insisted that all children in the neighborhood, they must go and learn the Quran Sharif. So now this was the thing that blessed her with this type of death. What was it? It was just the respect. And this respect is not something that is Indian or something that is not in Islam. As Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would pick up the Quran Sharif in the morning, he would apply it to his chest, place it on his head, then kiss the Quran Sharif, and then with tears he would say, Hadha Manshur Rabbi. This is the constitution of my Rabb. I'm opening something, and this is the constitution of my Rabb. And Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, true Khulafa'i Rashid, he would do the same. He would take the Quran Sharif, apply it to his head, kiss the Quran Sharif, then place it, and then start off the day after recitation. So they are showing us two things. One is the respect and the bond attachment that we need to have the Quran. And then we commence the day with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we commence the day with Allah ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will be with us throughout the day. But if the word of Allah ta'ala is discarded, and we commence the day, then you don't find the enjoyment, the happiness, the cheer, the drive, the motivation in the day. We didn't start off with the one that has blessed us with all these blessings and bounties. We forgot him and went straight into our work. So do you think that you will get that type of enjoyment, that type of happiness, that type of fulfillment? Nonetheless, this is how the people of the old, how they would commence the day. Now we come to the next verse in the same surah. وَأَنَفْتَرْتُكَ Allah Pak says, now we have chosen you, you're going to be my man, you're going to deliver my message to mankind. Right? So, a Nabi obviously will have to have some type of support and evidence for the claim that he makes. He makes claim that I'm the Nabi, I'm appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver his message. So therefore he's supported with miracles, what we say, mu'jiza. Now the first response of Musa alayhi salam was not a response of pride, of ostentation, of arrogance, or showing attitude. See now, I am the Nabi of Allah ta'ala, I am the man of Allah ta'ala, I am the person. That was not the response. Rather, as he's being blessed, the levels of his humility is just escalating. He says, please, Rabbi shrahli sadri, Allah ta'ala, this is your work, I won't be able to manage myself until you don't support me in this work. So the first thing I need, that I can deliver your message properly and correctly, is you expand my breast. So that when my mind is open, my chest is open, then the deliverer will be right. But if my mind is not open, it is constricted, then I won't have the heart to grasp your message. And when I don't have the full heart to grasp your message, then how am I to do the delivery? So if my breast is open, I get the heart that is fully open to the message, to the word of Allah Ta'ala, and then the delivery can be done right as well. So now he shows his weakness. وَيَسْتِرْلِي أَمْرِي And Allah Ta'ala, make this task of mine very easy. See how we open our work. Musa is starting off, and what he's starting off with. What an excellent way. Every word in the Nabi's life, every action, every behavior is a lesson for us to emulate. وَيَسْتِرْلِي أَمْرِي And make this task of mine easy. When you have got Allah Ta'ala on your side, you started off with the name of Allah Ta'ala, you started off with namaz, and you took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recited his book, then your day becomes very easy. So what seemed to be a mountain became like a mold, so easy, so simple, and so easy to accomplish, because you got Allah Ta'ala on your side. But without Allah Ta'ala, and a small little insignificant thing becomes so, so complicated. Small little marital problem, and I don't know what complicated the whole thing. Now it seems like they can't just stand each other, they can't look at each other. But when you see the problem, it was so, so insignificant. But you don't have Allah Ta'ala with you, then it becomes so difficult. وَيَسْرْلِي أَمْرِي So a man must show his insignificance, his limitation, his weakness to Allah Ta'ala. Not go about boasting about himself, bragging about himself and his achievements. Rather, showing his humility, inability and weakness. Then open the knot of my tongue, and he closes up this dua. وَجْعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُجْدُدْ بِي أَزْلِي And oh Allah Ta'ala, give me someone that will support me in this mission, my brother Harun. Why my brother Harun? Because we'll have a better understanding, there'll be better compatibility, we can work well. So when he's both of us on the same page, then we can work well, we have a familiarity, we have an understanding, so we can work well towards this mission, accomplishing this mission. Number two is, he says, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَسْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا That together with this, we can remember you in abundance and recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah in abundance. So we understand that the work must take you to this point, that you remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance. It's not just a formality. Rather, it must bring you to this point that what is the level of your remembrance, your attachment, your bonding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you have an additional attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you are at the same point? So this attachment must just grow, and that grows with remembrance. And zikr can be done individually and collectively. Both has got its merits and its benefits. Individual also is great, But collective also is great, because he's saying, نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِرًا. We collectively will remember you. So it doesn't mean that we remember Allah Ta'ala in a chorus, because then each one will try to fit into the chorus, and he will not try to increase the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Rather, he wants to fit and conform into the chorus. The idea is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, not conforming to the chorus. You may just lose the plot. Also, they say when it's done collectively, at home now we are doing it, children, wife, etc., some talim, some zikr, some dua, then each person has been blessed with some type of a quality. He's got more ikhlas and sincerity, so he's doing with that sincerity. And the other person may have much more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're doing it collectively, then your good is passing on to him, and the goodness in him is passing on to you. What a good way to bring about the remembrance of Allah ta'ala and to entrench it within the heart. That was the story.